What's up, beautiful people? Thanks for tuning in. I'm Sharita, and this is Spaz. Good morning, beautiful people. How's it going? How has your week been? I hope everything's been working in your favor and that everything's been chucking on along and you're doing mighty swell. Let's get into it. Thanks for joining and listening to Spaz. So what's the deal, you guys? You guys should be getting this on a Friday. So I wonder what you guys this weekend has ahead and planned for you guys. I hope it's going to be a beautiful one. I'm hoping that we get some rain this weekend. I'm not really trying to do much. I was supposed to be taking a trip to a small trip. Small trip, not too many people. Small trip, you know, we are still dealing with COVID, but also supposed to be going to Tahoe for the first time. And unfortunately, that got canceled due to somebody actually getting sick. And so we had to cancel the whole trip. So that was unfortunate and it sucked because that would be my first time actually being able to join the trip and my first time being able to go to Tahoe. And I've always wanted to go to Tahoe. I want to go to Tahoe in the winter, and I want to go to Tahoe in the spring and summer because Tahoe is just a beautiful place. It's Tahoe. And I never been, so that sucks. It cancels. And so I'm going to be trying to work on taking my braids down or whatever the case may be, but I hate taking down hair. I hate taking down hair. It is, and it's funny because, you know, of course, black women, we wear braids, and other people do too, but it's different with us. And I'm actually getting into stereotypes today, stereotypes of a black woman or just stereotypes in general, but I'm gonna focus on stereotypes of a black woman because there was a, there was a Clubhouse chat room that was quite interesting. Clubhouse is a very interesting, good networking application to join. It really, really is. It's quite interesting. You can definitely get caught up. You can get caught up on that app because it's nothing but like strict communication. And y'all know I like to talk but that's more, Clubhouse is more of a listening app if you're trying to catch a gym and whatnot, unless you're like getting on stage and you're hosting and moderating rooms, then you're a speaker. However, it's still a good place to actually really just listen and, you know, good affirmations and positive feedback, support, things like that. But anywho, there was one particular room that I got into that for the most part, I caught it at a very late half of it, but it was still a interesting concept to me. And it really got me to think. And then I ended up hitting a semi-roadblock this week. Emotional roadblock this week, and it made me think back on the conversation that we had previously had, and it was about black women being aggressive. And I believe it said, do not call black women aggressive, or are black women aggressive, something of that nature. But whatever it was, of course, that, you know, that made me curious to know what it was. It's I'm always curious. Clubhouse for me is when you get to hear men speak their piece and black men speak their piece and be vulnerable or be angry or tell you how they feel or whatever. And because it's very hard to really have authentic men tell you the truth and who's to say that these people are on here telling the truth? You know what I mean? Who knows? But really, you're behind your phone. I can't really see. So what is there really to hide? You know what I mean? Which is why I think it's a perfect concept. It's a perfect application because for the most part, I do believe these men. But that was a conversation, and it was quite interesting. And it was interesting to hear. And actually, it was a place where the men in there, they gave feedback here and there, but they allowed women to speak. They allowed black women to speak and share our experiences and what we go through and what we deal with. And it was wild because I got in the room, I believe it was only like about maybe 70 to 80 people. I started off like 200 something, they said, but then it kind of twinkled down and whatnot. But just to hear that many women kind of sharing the same experience and the same stories and the same, you know, circumstances and stuff, it really, number one, it was low-key a relief. It was somewhat shocking, sad, and irritated. I mean, irritating at the same time. At the same time. And these were different type of women. It wasn't just like mad, you know, aggressive ass woman like on there talking shit. It was women like really being vulnerable and expressing how they feel. And I know it triggered me personally because I know that I have been called aggressive, especially by a man, many of time. I've been called aggressive by my family, by friends and all that kind of stuff. And so a part of that had truth to it, because if somebody is telling you that and it's more than one person, then of course there has to be some type of truth to it, right? However, me personally, I started hearing it quite young. And so I was able to get kind of get a semi grasp on it, to where when I hit my early 20s, mid 20s, especially my mid 20s, that was a game changer for me. But when I hit those phases in my life, I started to just, you know, take accountability. Y'all know I'm big on accountability. I started to really like check myself and really spend time by myself and just really search within on why did I keep hearing that and what did I need to change, because I got tired of hearing it. Plain and simple, I got tired of hearing it, because contrary to what anybody thinks, that can be really hurtful. It can be really, really hurtful to hear something like that, to hear a character flaw, especially if you don't feel that you really, really have that character flaw, or you feel that there's reason behind that character flaw. Now, whether the reason is right or wrong, that's up for debate. There really is no wrong or right answer, because everybody's situation, story is different. That's just what it is, you know? But in this space that I'm telling you guys about, it was quite interesting to me how, like I said, the women were allowed the opportunity to speak on it. And a lot of these women had the same history, the same background, the same story, the same frustrations. And so that was a clear case of showing. And it was beautiful to hear some of the men affirming us, like, no, like, that's not aggressiveness, it's this, it's that, it's trauma. And these are things that, sure, yeah, we all know, but it's different when you, I mean, everybody's, you know, everybody, I don't know everybody's age group in the room, their ages vary, and it's very, and everybody's, I'm sorry, you guys, that's Jules. If you guys hear, she's, like, barely waking up now. So she, don't be looking on this, trying to look at my stuff. My poor baby. But anywho, she, you know, I noticed that, like, everybody pretty much kind of had the same stories, like, from work to home to relationships to dealing with men to friends to friendships, like, just different frustrations, but at the same time, common frustrations. So that was kind of interesting and a relief to see, like I was saying, and made me really think about it. Like, you know, I mean, I've talked on this in Spaz in the beginning days, but how I stopped telling myself that I was aggressive and I was more assertive. I was very assertive in how I feel, what I want out of life, what I want out of how people treat me, what I expect out of people, because I know, I'm pretty sure what I give you, how I can treat you, how I've been treating you and stuff like that. I've never seen myself be aggressive for no reason. I'm not saying that doesn't exist, you feel me? Because I've definitely seen aggressiveness out of nowhere. And my whole theory, you know, we were talking about, like, how, because then one brother came in and was like, you know, y'all, this is one of the stereotypes that I want to touch on. He gets in the room and was like, you know, y'all black women, y'all don't know how to treat y'all man, y'all know how to be submissive to your man, da 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 da. And I'm so tired of hearing that. Y'all just don't even know. I'm so tired of hearing that, because it's absolutely not true. It is not true at all. I know plenty of black women that will love to be very submissive to their man. I know Mexican women who are submissive to their man and aggressive to their man, the same with white, the same with Asian. I think it's just a woman frustration type of a thing, depending on how you're treating that woman and what that woman got to deal with. And that's a conversation that we never have. That's an accountability that a lot of men or people who say these type of things, they don't really step back and take it. They just see the outcome. They see that lash out, you know, but 8 times out of 10, that lash out came from some type of a poking, some type of an irritation, some type of a hurt, some type of a pain or frustration. Plain and simple. I'm not going to say that it doesn't exist again, that people are walking around here angry, because I'm sure that they are, but there's a root of all anger. There's some type of a root of all anger. And that's why, you know, it's important to go talk about it. It's important to, you know, seek therapy and so forth. And I'm so tired of people talking about normalizing therapy when I think that nowadays people are starting to understand that therapy, it's okay for therapy to be a normal thing. So we're over the normalizing part. Some people do struggle with it, and some people do still say, I'm not crazy. You want to go talk to a therapist? I think a lot of men are still the ones kind of late dealing with that, because it's hard for man to be vulnerable. It's very hard for man to be vulnerable, especially black men, because they're taught and raised a certain way, and the roles that are installed in us, in black people, are very, very strong and prominent. And you got to think about that. We come from very, very strong households. And so when your mama was kind of shaping you into your character, which is kind of, That's kind of an issue. That's kind of traumatizing within our culture, because, like I just said, when your mama or your granny was shaping you into who you were supposed to be, you know, I'm pretty sure they were going about it strongly, like, you know, very, very forward, matter of fact, telling you what it needs to be, what you should be doing, and stuff like that, which a lot of cultures, a lot of non-white cultures have very, very strong backgrounds because they have to. Plain and simple, because they have to. We've seen I can only speak on my experience. I happen to be a black woman, and I was raised by a single black woman. And so that's what I experienced. And I had a very strong black grandma, both of them, who raised their black children by themselves. You see what I'm saying? And so that's what I know. That's what I can relate to. And that's what I know. And that's where my relationship, that's where some of my character advice and ways, that's where they come from. And so that's what shows me how to be a strong black woman. And it almost shows, not every black woman in my family, because I got some, and this is what I'm saying. I got some black women in my family that just didn't take the lesson. They are very passive, very, very quiet, very timid, not matter of fact, do not utilize their voice, very quiet, you know, shy, because that's their personality. That's not to say that they didn't experience that and see that as well. They just grew up and tapped into a different personality, or they tapped into their self. That's who they are, whatever the case may be. But when you're, the thing is, when you see nothing but strong single woman, and at this point, this is whatever, you see strong single woman raising you, raising your brother, if you're a girl, or if you're a man, raising your sister, going to work, at some cases doing a full-time job, part-time job, and school, and cooking, and cleaning, and this, and that, until the kids are old enough to get old, you know, old enough to help out. So what does a daughter do? She got to learn how to cook, clean, and help mom out. So there's a certain level of responsibility that's placed on a lot of times our babies, way more than it is with any other child. And it's a blessing when you see kids able to be themselves and not coming from something like dictation and families like controlling them or putting a lot of responsibility on them at a very younger age, because that can cause a lot of the strongness and the aggression that they may not know how to decipher from. They don't know how to go in between or tap into what, or having healthy, because there's healthy aggression. There's healthy aggression. There's healthy assertiveness. Because in some situations, in some cases, trust me when I say people be happy that their girl is aggressive. when she can handle some business that this man might not be able to handle, or he might not be able to go get it done the way that she can go get it done. The same, you know, so there we go with the role plays. And so, I mean, at the end of the day, this conversation ties in to so many different outlets, you know what I'm saying? But anywho, when I heard the whole submission thing, like, oh, y'all can't be submissive, whoop, whoop, that's old. That is so old, because I believe we're seeing a lot of women nowadays, which is a good thing. We're seeing a lot of women being submissive to their husbands. We're seeing them talking about it. We're seeing women allowing it to be okay, but we're also seeing our men doing what they're supposed to do for their woman to be submissive. See, the thing is, it's not an issue for any woman to cater and be submissive to her man. Most women want that. Most women, especially most women who come from very strong household, single woman household, they're really hurt and they really just need a man to allow them to heal. I know I do, and I know I did. Now I'm at a point to where I just kinda, I'm at an age, I'm 32, I'm at an age where I learned how to heal myself and how to sit within myself and make certain changes in with myself without it being really pulled out by a man. Some of it was tapped into by a man, though. I'm not gonna lie. Some men have told me certain things that I did take in and make some changes over. You know what I'm saying? As you should, as you're supposed to. When people are telling you certain things, and if the shoe fits, wear it. Wear it. You know what I'm saying? But don't wear that shoe and don't tie it. There you go. You know what I'm saying? There's a difference. Don't go put the shoe on all sloppy, fumbling over the strings and not really understanding the lesson of when you put that shoe on, you didn't own it because you didn't tie it to your foot, right? And that's the best way that I can really describe that. So for me, when certain things was being brought to my attention, certain things that I heard multiple times, it just had to make sense. So I took it in. Then I got old enough to get to the point, mid-20s, when I started asking, like, why do you feel that way? How does that, you know, what do you, give me an example. Because I really don't understand. I'm trying to understand. I was trying to learn at what I was doing and I didn't know. I was trying to learn how to take accountability. What is it that I'm doing wrong? Why am I coming at this man so aggressively? Why can't I check the tone of my voice? I come from a very aggressive timeline in Oakland. See, nowadays Oakland ain't, I mean, it's aggressive here and there, but it's not, it ain't the same. And see, when I was growing up, you had to be, I don't know. You had to be on your shit. You couldn't be a little punk. The girls had to hang with the dudes. Girls was out there fighting with the boys. Boys wasn't taking it easy on us growing up. We didn't have that. And really the reality of it was a lot of those boys on our blocks didn't have a lot of their fathers or man figures in the house that was teaching them how to be soft with a woman and whatnot, right? Even if they liked them. You know, I mean, we're kids. And so sometimes you have a crush, you might be mean to your crush. I know girls, we tend to do that. We tend to be mean to the people we like. And I fell into that. I was very much like that. And sometimes I still can find myself being like that. I might have a little crush and my petty ass be hella rude to you for no reason, but I really think you're fine on the low. And maybe I'm just not too bold enough to let you know that. So my flirting is a semi-aggressive flirt. That's kind of sick, but that's real. That's real. Don't take that like, oh, so every time she be mean to me, she like me. No, it's not that. But at the same time, now if I don't like you, I'm gonna tell you. I'm just gonna tell you, like, I just don't like you. I'm gonna make it very clear that I don't like you. But anywho, none the least to say, like, that's the product of the environment. So you have to learn and grow from that and change from that. But we didn't have that. A lot of men or a lot of the boys on the block seen their moms being beat in the house, and women seeing a lot of men, men beating and raping on the woman in their family, uncles raping girls, cousins. It's a lot of stuff that goes on in black families, like for real, and that are not talked about, that are not healed, that are not acknowledged, that are not received. A lot of it from self-esteem abuse, from mental abuse to physical abuse, it is all there. And sometimes it's all there in one household. That's a lot. That's a lot of trauma. That's a lot of trauma that can do real permanent damage if you're not careful. Seriously. And so, you know, when I got older and I started learning these things, I made the choice to change because it's, I start learning that, well, I've always wanted to be soft. I've always wanted to tap into a feminine side. I've always wanted to be a gentle type of a woman. Because I come from strong woman, but I come from gentle woman as well. My grandma was very loving. My mom is very, very loving, but she's strong. My grandmother, I don't really remember my grandmother being loving with a man. I've only seen my grandma, my grandmother with like one man. Even my grandma as well. My grandma was just more, to me, I'm going to say she's more loving because for me, I felt more nurturing out of my grandma. My grandmother was always on the move. She was always on the move. She was always partying. She was always hosting somebody's party. She was always bartending at somebody's bar. She was in somebody's club. She was working. My grandmother was just a party animal. That's just what it was. I remember the day she stood up and told the judge when we were in foster care that she couldn't take us because we weren't her kids, and that's not what she did. You know, she had things to do, and pretty much, not really like I'm a party animal, but pretty much said that. You feel me? That's just who she was. You know what I'm saying? That was hurtful. That was hurtful, and those are things that I'll never forget, but, you know, that's a different story, but that's that. That's a personality. But for the most part, I did see a lot of nurturing love from these women in my life as well. I just seen them doing it alone and being strong and then teaching me how to be strong. And I think they taught us certain things in hopes that we didn't have to live our lives like that, that we were strong enough to be able to hold our own. However, told us how to get a good man as well. That's where my uncles came in at, actually. So I had a decent balance. Because a man in my family also gained me and told me how not to get played, how not to let a man use me, how not to allow a man to put his hands on me, how not to allow a man to lay up on my couch all day while I get up and go to work. Certain things like that that my uncles were not having. They absolutely weren't having it out of me and my sister. And I'm really grateful for that. And for me, I come from a strong woman and a strong man. And so that was just what it was. And so it was kind of up to me to learn how to be calm, how to be gentle, because it's number one, it's a peace of mind. It's really, really tiring and stressful to always have to be so strong. It really is. It really, really is. And so that's how I know that majority of women don't want to be that way. They just have no choice. Because they have to be guarded in this cold, cruel-ass world. Especially because, think about it, women are vulnerable. We're weaker. A man can overpower us if we really did put ourselves in a position or we allowed this man to. He can, I'm talking about overpower us, like strengthly overpower us. And so there's a guarding mechanism that is there naturally in a woman. It's like animals. There's certain things of animals that protect themselves. There's a reason for a dog's sharp teeth. Okay, notice a puppy. I noticed that my puppy, when she was a puppy, she had way sharper teeth, right? Now her teeth has obviously been coming out, and so she doesn't have sharper teeth. I believe God created that because, well, she was a puppy out there on her own, and she had to defend herself. She got a bite, and that bite got to hurt. You know what I mean? When she's older, it's still going to hurt, but she knows her strength at this point, right? She can control her strength. That's God. That is God who put that in that animal. I feel like I be really talking about God a lot lately on my podcast. And it's actually a beautiful thing. But I wonder how people feel about me talking about God a lot and being myself and cussing or not. But this is me and this is who I am. This ain't no brand new type of shit. You know what I'm saying? But anywho, that's just something that I caught on to. But there's a certain defense mechanism. There we go. That we just naturally have to have. You know what I'm saying? We just got to find balance within that defense mode that we have. And I went through the phase where I did, because I realized that, you know, that it was more stress-free. I didn't want to be guarded. I actually love to be vulnerable. I want to be vulnerable, but I want to let my hair down and trust that it's going to be okay. Trust that this man or this person is not going to take advantage of me. You know what I mean? And I want to be able to trust that. I'm talking about, and we guard it in friendships, relationships, with family. I'm talking about it's almost like it's hard in the world. It is not easy. I got a lot of non-black friends that listen to this, and I'm not, and it's probably, and honestly, it's probably a conversation that they're tired of hearing, but you're tired of hearing it because you can't relate and you don't get it. It is not easy being a black woman. It really ain't. I don't care if you quote unquote whitewash. It really isn't. You may have slight more opportunity versus a little black girl in the hood growing up. However, when y'all get to a certain age, you're still going to be treated the same, no matter what. It's not easy for us to get out here and find decent jobs because some people won't give it to us based off they think that we're a little bit too much. But you don't even know that you just put this person on that's a whole lot. You don't even know that. You know what I'm saying? But because I'm a black woman, I'm not going to get that opportunity. It's not easy for our black man to see us, to actually see us, to want to have us, because they're in this mind frame, in this stereotype where they feel that black women are aggressive. We don't do this. We don't do that. But they want, it's weird to me, because then they'll go over there and expect a black woman's ways out of this non-black woman and get frustrated with this non-black woman because she ain't a sister. She can't relate to you. She don't get it. She does not cook like how we cook. She don't clean how we clean. She not raising your kids how you were raised, how your black mama raised you. But how could you put that on this poor woman? And that's not her culture. That's not her culture. And so then that creates some type of an anger. That creates some type of a guardness, that defense mechanism. It's a circle. It's a real cycle. And everybody suffers from it. Everybody suffers from it, you know what I'm saying? And so it's quite interesting to sit back and see how that plays out. What I like is, I like that men are slowly starting to become men. At least my peers, because men don't mature until mid-30s, 40s. And honestly, men past that sometimes don't mature. That's just what it is. Sometimes men could be in their 50s, childish as fuck. You know, and that's horrible. Can you imagine that? Being 50 and you just still childish as fuck. You still walking around at 50 talking about y'all know how to treat a man. Y'all know what y'all doing with a man. It almost should make you look at like, okay, brother, what is it that you're doing to where you're feeling like this? A woman at your age, a woman that's your peer now in your 50s that don't know how to treat a man. That's pretty hard to believe, because now this is like grown woman, damn near grandma status. I'm pretty sure that woman knows how to treat a man. I'm curious to know, are you worth being treated that way? Plain and simple. Men have to really start looking within and answering their own question. Are you worth that? Do you put that out there like that? Is your woman allowed to feel vulnerable? Do you guys have conversations? Do you get up and help her around the house? Are you working? Are you helping her take care of the children even though you're working? Stuff like that. There should be no reason why, me personally, I was taught, and I believe in this no matter what. I would never stray from this. I don't care how good of a man he is. I would never stray away from this particular lesson that I was taught in my life, as far as being a strong woman and becoming a mother. I was taught a lesson of when you have your children, you have your babies for you and only you. That's why I don't believe in women who walk around. I know it can be hard. I know it can be frustrating. I understand that it can be hurtful because this man is hurting your children. So at that point, I understand why a woman will talk her a mess or anything like that. I just think that you got to be very smart about it and be sure that your surroundings are safe and that this kid is not hearing you just bash your father. I don't believe in that. But anywho, I was taught that whenever you have a child, you make sure that you're ready. You yourself are ready. I don't care if you're married. You make sure you're ready. I was taught that. And I was taught just like that. Actually, my grandmother was really big on that lesson. My grandmother used to say that, and my uncles used to tell us that. But my uncles were so big on, like, you find a good man that's going to help you, treat you, da-da-da-da. My grandmother would tell us, you know, you make sure that when you're having a baby, you're ready for that baby, because ain't nobody going to take care of that kid but you. Plain and simple. This man, you know, man sleep in. How many moms can sit here and listen to this pod right now that can tell me how many times you were with your baby daddy, or maybe you still with your husband or your baby daddy, whatever the case may be, whoever you want to call this man, and you got up in the middle of the night, he slept right through it. How many times did you get up and make the bottle and you stay up all night with this child and this man is sleeping peacefully? You know, it's very rare that we get to see a father get up and tell the wife, like, hey, you know, lay down. It's okay, baby. I got this. She just carried this baby for 9 months, my nigga. She just carried this baby from 9 months. Some of them went through 36 to 40-something hours, 20-something hours of labor. They just did that to give you this the most precious gift that you'll ever receive in your life. You can't get up? You can't get up? Okay. So it's just, so that makes a woman guarded. You see what I'm saying? That makes me guard it. Because now I got to come in. And when I make that decision to have my child, I'm making it for myself. For me, I always say, I'm going to make sure that I'm ready. I'm physically and mentally ready to be a mother. Because I can't walk away from being a mom. I'm not saying that that's not possible. We see a lot of moms walking away now. We see a lot of fathers stepping up. We see a lot of single fathers now. You know, hats off to you. At the same time, you know, it is what it is. It's a lot of women that don't even like giving the credit because we've been having single mothers for so long. So they kind of look at that man like, oh, you know what I'm saying? Now you know how it feels. I don't really believe in a tit for tat. And so I'm going to give credit where it's due at all times. But I'm always going to big up a single mom. So why wouldn't I big up a single father? You know what I mean? But we're starting to see a lot of fathers step up to the plate and mommy's leaving and mama's going about their way and mom's just doing what they want to do. Moms ain't even the same no more. And then moms feel the need to not explain certain things because they don't owe nobody nothing and they're going to go live their life and do this. But really, like, your child is missing out. I know moms and I've seen moms take whole ass trips, but they never took their child on a trip because they don't want to deal with it. And that's crazy to me. That's crazy to me, like, or do certain things or go out and be on about. And it's like, you know, spend some time with your baby. Why can't your baby see the world with you? Or why aren't you thinking like that? Like, you know what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong. There is absolutely nothing wrong with a break. Moms deserve breaks, especially active moms. Moms do deserve time to let their hair down, time to gather themselves, time to live their lives, times to have fun, all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about the moms that ain't shit, just like the daddy ain't shit. You know what I mean? You got it to where both parents ain't shit and grandma got to step in and raise it. Imagine nowadays, grandmas ain't the same. So I feel so bad for our little babies. Our grandmas aren't the same no more. So I have no idea what's going on with that. You know what I mean? I don't know. Because at this point, grandma out still trying to get it. You know, I blame social media for that. It's a different life and it's a different take right now in our world. It really, really is. And it's quite interesting, you know what I mean? But so many stereotypes that we still really need to break from. I thought that we were moving and chucking on along and we were doing okay. But then when I realized in that chat, like, wow, we still hearing this kind of stuff. I'm just happy that I'm at an age and I'm in a phase of my life where I was able to go in there and understand and see and relate to both parts. You know what I mean? Because I feel bad for black men who really feel like black women, that they can't love us. I really feel bad for them. I really, really feel bad for them because I look at it like, damn, you're missing out on the probably one of the greatest loves of your life. Because when you find the right woman overall to really love on you, to really tap into you, to really bring out the best man that you can be, that is priceless. I'm talking about priceless because the right woman can really bring out the best in a man, the boss in a man, and that's real. So it's unfortunate when they feel like they can't meet that. The same way women, I mean, I've been feeling bad for the woman because we just need man to take time with us, to allow us to heal and to be that healing space for us. And it's nice to already come healed. I'm in a spot now to where I kind of want you to come to me healed. Everybody has trauma, just like I want to go to you healed. That's why being single for me right now, it's not a big deal. And it hasn't been a big deal. Yes, it gets lonely. Yes, I be feeling a certain way. You know what I mean? Yes, I think about certain exes and I think about certain things that they're doing. I wonder, is there certain lessons that they remember, or I take certain lessons that they taught me, or I just think about being able to actually, when am I going to get my partner, my real partner that is going to understand me, that I'm going to be able to do all the silly, stupid shit with, be and look stupid and ugly with him if I want to, be like, just let my full hair down and be able to come into my home, our home, and feel comforted. You know, that's like a relief. That's a relief. And so I'm never going to agree with any man, any man that says a woman, we right now in today's society, it's this music influencing, and it is, it definitely is. But I think that the music has a big toll in the pool on younger generations. I don't think that my peers are out here on that level. You know what I'm saying? I don't need a man to throw hella money at me for me to go on a date with you. I don't need you to buy me $500 wigs and spend $200 on my nails. I wish you would spend $200 on my nails. I wish you would spend $100 on my nails. I think that is the dumbest shit ever. Ever. I mean, I'm a plain Jane girl anyway. I'm a solid type of a color gel girl. I'm very, very simple. Less is more. That bling should be all cute and whatnot, but I am never going to go get nails like a celebrity, and I don't have celebrity money. I don't got a celebrity bank. That's crazy to me. Maybe it'll change if I had that kind of money. I personally don't see it changing. I see myself getting my cuticles pushed back more often. I see myself getting massages more often and getting my hands, my color change every 2 weeks like I'm supposed to, unless there's a chip or something like that. Like, I see that. I don't see you putting stones and shit all on me, so I gotta eat. It might come in my mouth. I gotta use the bathroom. It's uncomfortable. I don't like the way it looks when they be eating food all in your nails. I don't think that's sanitary. For me personally, that's just not sanitary to me. It's disgusting. I just think it's disgusting. Please don't touch me. Don't touch me and all that. You're limited. You can't do hair. You can't do nails. You barely can do your makeup. Can't put your lashes on without poking your eye. I don't have time for none of that. That's ridiculous to me. And so I want to be able to find a partner that, you know, where, you know, we can be this way with. And the reality of it is a lot of women do. And you heard that in the group, too. You heard some women in there, you know, were just saying that they were over it. They were over men beating them and using them and taking advantage of them and, you know, just mistreating them to where they didn't have no hope. And that was heartbreaking. I thought that was so heartbreaking. Like, wow, it should never be that way when all it really is derived from trauma that didn't heal. And it's so sad because this queen, she hasn't even found her healing space within, let alone a man. You know, and I'm not saying you're supposed to go to a man and put that type of responsibility on them, because a lot of times they got to heal too. That's not the point here, not the case. I'm just saying, I get tired of hearing that aggressive talk when that's not always the case. Or I'd rather a man, I mean, I've never seen a man like really come at it in a calm way. Like, hey man, you know, you mad aggressive. Like, you know, why is that? Why is that? Like, you know, have you ever, and come calmly, because I do remember that. I remember feeling moments of where I'm popping off yelling and my dude at the time would ask me, like, you know, why are you yelling? I don't really like that tone that you're taking with me. You know what I mean? I just had one where it was just very hard because I never got what I needed out of him. So frustration would just come. And then it just got to the point where shit just went bad. You know, just feeling alone in your own relationship. That can be frustrating. You know what I mean? I know, been there, done that. I get it. I understand that. However, it's no excuse. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to make an excuse. There's no excuse and whatnot. It was just, you know, but like I said, when I heard, and it was like a hood, like little, I think that boy was like from Mississippi, old country. He looked young, little country brother. You could tell he was a hood one, and he was in there spreading the most light. He was in there spreading the most light. And I thought to myself, just kind of looking at his pictures, I was like, I wonder, is he able to spread this light in the real world, or is he just comfortable being like this behind his phone? You know what I mean? That's where I'm at right now with Clubhouse. Like, are y'all really like this? Or y'all just like, you know what? Like, I just want to be able to be vulnerable on this phone where there's no judgment. And then I'm going to get back to my doggy, you know, my grimy ass lifestyle or whatever. I don't know. But he was on there, you know, pretty much. He was really listening. He was like, man, like, y'all done all went through the same thing. It's hard. You're not aggressive. Y'all just got things given to you wrong. And it's true, because I've been in situations where I can say one thing and it be taken a certain way, and I can have somebody else who does not look like me say the exact same thing. The exact same thing. Sometimes aggressiver. Sometimes even more like firm and meaner, and it be received. So in cases like that, what's the problem here? Like, what's the issue here? In cases like that, what's the problem? Like, how is it that she said the same thing that I just said, literally, but you received it out of her, but you shut me down? or you felt like I was being aggressive when I said it. How? Why is that? So the only thing that I see here that's different is that I'm a black woman and she's not. Like, simple. There's nothing. That's just what it is. Like, that is very annoying. It is very triggering. I don't know, not one sis that has ever dealt with that is not going to be bothered by that. That doesn't exist, because that's crazy. It's crazy. How is that possible? How is it possible that this, it's crazy. I remember, and it's sometimes it ain't even always another race. Sometimes it's shown. I remember my first nephew's baby shower. I remember setting up all by, it was me and my cousin, and my little brother was in town. So, of course, you know, he had to help us, but it was me and my little cousin throwing my sister the baby. We were hosting her baby shower. First and last time I ever really wanted to host an event, because it was ridiculous. It was so hard. There was so much going on. It was just too much. It was overwhelming. For me personally, it was overwhelming. And we didn't get, you know, like nobody, none of the men. And it was man there. It was co-ed. None of the men helped us. Not one. At the time, my boyfriend was there and he didn't lift a finger. He got there later. But I'm talking about in particular, he didn't get there for the setup. He came later as a guest. But when it came to the breakdown of us having to clean up the place and get things together, thank God a lot. And see, I got some down ass female friends. I can count on my, and a lot of women are like that. A lot of women will say that, like, you know, I ain't got this, but I got my girls. And sometimes I think that's really sad that all we can depend on is our fellow woman, like, and put all of our strength together to get a man's strength. Like, that's crazy to me when you can know so many men. You know, I know a lot of men that I cannot and I will not call on. I don't feel comfortable to call on them because they haven't made themselves my boys. And maybe I shouldn't necessarily call them my boys no more. That's something I got to really sit and think about, because I can't call them. Like, you know, but if they were to call me, it's good. I got you. I got you. But it's just different. And however, so when it came down to the breakdown of us putting the chairs away, you know, getting the food, whatever was left over, wrapping that up, telling whoever, like, hey, take a plate, take this, take that, whatever, you know, things that you do at a party. And I remember looking at the dudes who were at the point, I think it was like three of them. It was my ex, the father, one of his partners, and maybe like two other dudes besides my brother. And I just remember saying, like, hey, man, like, y'all can't, I forgot which one of the homies, the females, one of my female friends, were like moving a stack of chairs or something and was kind of like struggling. And they were just talking. They were just literally in a circle, just talking, like, and amongst themselves, just talking, having a conversation, whatever. So I walk up and I was like, hey, man, like, y'all see this girl, this woman struggling? Like, y'all not finna help her with these chairs? Like, y'all can't help out? And they, and literally looked at me, including my ex. He looked like really like guilty. But this is what I'm talking. This is the thing about him that used to irritate me, because he has it in him to do that. And if we were with his family or with his friends or with his people, he would be doing that. And so it's things like that about him that used to irritate me. However, they all look at me, including him, and didn't say anything. I believe, I don't want to exaggerate or mishap the story, but I believe one of them even said, like, nah, if I'm not mistaken. And I was just like, man, you know, whatever. And I was kind of keep pushing, but didn't move a muscle. Didn't budge and move a muscle, no nothing. So we moving things, we taking boxes out, taking gifts out. My sister got a lot of gifts, taking gifts to the car. I don't know how many cars we needed to put our gifts in, how many trips we made. And then I turned around and I had another partner. Actually, it was my girl, Diamond. Shout out to Diamond. Diamond was like, hey, y'all can't, what's up? Like, y'all can't help us out? Said the same thing. Said the same thing and said it in a different type of a tone. Actually, I felt a little more of an assertive tone, aggressive tone than I did. And then they got up and did it. So I don't know what the difference was. I don't know if they just didn't want to help me out. You know what I mean? Or it was a different tone. I don't know what that was, but I noticed that. And that irritated me. It irritated me because I didn't understand what the difference was. I just really didn't. I just didn't get it. And I'm the kind of person to where if I don't get it, I get frustrated. Like, I need somebody to explain this to me, because it needs to make sense. Make it make sense. Just make it make sense. I don't know why, but make it make sense. You know what I mean? I do know why. I need that so I can move forward. That's just what it is. And so now I've come to the point where I had to just sit back and analyze it and make it make sense for myself and keep it pushing, because I can't allow that all that in this person's circumstance and at the tip of their fingertips when they're not even worth it. You feel me? But stuff like that. So I've seen, and then, oh my God, don't let me get into corporate America, to the workplace. Like, the workplace is the worst. It is the worst. It got to the point where at my old job, after a while, I didn't even speak. A lot of stuff be going on, and I always spoke up because I don't believe in a closed mouth getting fed. I ain't never believed in that. And so I'm the one in the meeting speaking and raising my hand. I remember I was going for a higher position. This is real, y'all. This is real, 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 real. I was going for a higher position, and one of my girls, my work girls, she was in a higher position, and I knew that when she got on, she would really push for me to get on. I knew, and she was a white girl, one of my white partners at work. When cool as fuck. To this day, I fuck with her. I ain't talked to her in a minute. I might need to shoot her a text and check on her. Anywho, cool as fuck. So I knew that she was going to look back at me and be like, yo, I'm about to bring her up and put her on. And she walked up to me. Oh my God, that shit blew my mind. And it kind of told me a lot about who I am. And I had to make a decision. And she goes, hey, you know, the boss, our boss, our main boss, must have told her, like, hey, Sharita, we used to have town hall meetings. What is a town hall meeting? A town hall meeting is when the floor is open, right? Anybody can ask their questions and express concerns, anything of that nature. Raise your hand, speak. That's what a town hall meeting is. We all should know that. And if we don't know that, that's what it is. And so we had town hall style meetings, and that were made, you know, for that reason. It was supposed to give the employees a chance to express their concerns, express their needs, get their questions answered and whatnot and so forth. And she walked up to me at my desk on the lawn and was like, hey, the boss said that if you're serious about this position, that you got to keep your questions at a minimum. I guess the CEO, you know, for her name, the Asian lady who ran the company or who was a face of the company, whatever. I stood out to her. I always had a question. I knew I stood out to her because one day I was walking in the back room and she first and last name, hey, Sharita, da, 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 da. And I was like, hey, looked at my boy, my little brother at the time. I was like, how does she know me? And he was like, man, I don't know. Like, you know, you always talking. You always got an opinion or something. Like, maybe. And I was like, well, that might be it was a good conversation. She was really friendly with me. She didn't come off like a certain way. She just respected me. And it was so weird to me. But I also knew at that time that my name must be getting brought up. Y'all must have conversations about me. Because why? Number one, why is she comfortable? But yet, why is my manager trying to protect his image and not want me to ask my questions and pretty much told me that I wouldn't get the job, that raise, that position, if I didn't keep my questions at minimum. Not even ask questions at all. Like, that was real, and I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I looked at her, especially because I'm not the kind of person that believes in being silent. I believe there's a time and place for everything. Yes, you know what I mean? Absolutely. I do believe in that. I'm not saying, like, overall I don't believe in being silent, but I do not believe that you would get change in your life if you don't speak about it or you don't speak on the change that you want to see. I don't believe in that. Like, and so that just, and that was a real struggle for me. It was hard. Long story short, the meeting came and I did plan on limiting my questions. I did plan on that. And I can't even believe that. Like, I really was like, because I needed the money. I needed the money. So I was like, you know what? Fucking, like, maybe I do come off too strong and I do come off too. Let me just sit back. We got in that meeting. They got to talking about some stuff and I raised my hand. I spoke and I speak a certain way. I know how to speak a certain way at work. This is work. I know how to be professional. And that's what I told you guys. I made a decision to not be quote unquote white professional. I made a decision to be my professional because I know how to be professional. I know how to be professional. I don't have to be whitewashed, quote unquote whitewashed, or change my voice to be professional. I just don't. Y'all don't do it. So why do I need to? Why do I have to be raised to act like you guys, to speak like you guys, to be able to be accepted by you guys? That's how, do you hear that? Do you hear that? Talk, act, and walk like you so you can accept me. Why do I need your acceptance? Like, and that's just how I feel. That's what I believe. And I'm just not having it. Like, I'm not having it because I'm never going to have you. And the reason why I'm very big and light on that is because I got some real square-ass white ponies, listen to country and all that, to line dance and do white shit and stuff like that, lights go running, dirt and get dirty and roll around in the hair dirty. I got those kind of ponies, and I don't judge them. I don't make them come around me listening to rap all day and hip. If they want to listen to country, yeah, I could tap into the country. They want to listen to some hip hop, it's cool. But I've never made them feel that they needed to be ghetto to hang around me. I ain't ghetto. Can we all tap into ghetto behavior? Do we all do and you know, what is the word? What is the word I'm looking for? Participate in ghetto activity? Yeah, all of us do. All of us do, because ghetto don't got a color on it. Ghetto don't got a color on it. Ghetto is just ghetto. You know what I'm saying? And we all can tap into that. We all know how to be a little ratchet. Especially coming from NorCal, California. All our girls got a little bit of hip in them, a little bit of hood, a little bit of ghetto in them. I don't give a damn what she is. And don't be from the Bay. And I'm talking about the old Bay. Don't be from the old Bay. Nowadays, you know, it's a little bit there that still got the culture and whatnot. But don't be a white person or an Asian or an Indian that was born and raised, as my peer, in their 30s and was born and raised in the Bay. They're going to be a little bit more hip. They're a little bit more with it. They're not, you know what I'm saying? It's a city. They're from a city. A city has fast life. A city has finesse. That's just what it is. Like, we come from a finesse type of a city. So, yeah, you finna take that on. You know what I mean? And so it's not a culture thing. It's not a color thing. It's not a, oh, we're pinpointing. No, that's just what it is. You know what I'm saying? And I'm never going to sit back and ask you to not be yourself, especially when money on the line. Like, what? So that was wild to me. But that just let me know, like, damn, like, if you guys can really sit back and put a tape over a sis's mouth, you would. You would. And what makes it frustrating and hurtful for us as black women is our men who are supposed to protect us. We're always hearing about we're not submissive to our man and all that kind of stuff. But our men, who are supposed to protect us, who are supposed to provide for us, they will allow society to do it. As a matter of fact, they will stand side by side with society to do it. I mean, we just don't get treated the same. Look how the world acted when George got, you know, when he was killed and murdered in front of our faces, right? Breonna, I think at that time, what was she? 2-3 months in of her murder, and you didn't see the world go crazy for that black woman. Her name was still being brought up, and yes, she was still in, you know, signs in the protests talking about her, but her death did not cause that big worldwide protest. And we get abused way more than a black man. This ain't a pissing contest. You know, what I'm saying? I'm not trying to say this as a pissing contest or nothing like that, but That has a lot to do with why we're so strong, we're so guarded, we're so firm, because we're not protected, we're not poured into, we're not supported, we're not loved, we're not, none of that, we're just not, like, you know what I mean? I mean, I'm not saying that all of us aren't, because we got some men that do pour into us, but it's not enough, and the numbers don't add up, it doesn't weigh out, you know what I mean? It's unfortunate. I'm hoping that the older and older that I get, the more and more I'm starting to see men, at least, you know, seeing here, man, at least in Clubhouse. And I got a couple of partners that I've had conversations with now as men that do wish they can go back and that do be trying to do certain things differently, that do speak differently. And I see that they treat women differently. But then I still got the same partners that go hard for black women, but marrying outside their race, or only marrying the light-skinned sisters, the mixed sisters. And I don't want to hear that either. I don't really like hearing you. And I heard that a lot in that room too. Black women saying, like, you know, like, even lighter sisters, they get away with things. And I had to chime in on that. Like, nah. Because I'm a light, bright motherfucker. And I've heard and still deal with every single thing that you guys are talking about. And I'm light-skinned. I'm not mixed. I'm light-skinned. You know what I mean? I'm very light. Very, very, very light. I'm pale in the winter, okay? I'm that light. I need a tan. I'm not finna be in a tanning bed and all that shit. I ain't a white girl. But I'm light-skinned, you know? But I'm a sister. And so I don't like hearing that type of stereotype either. That, oh, light-skinned girls, they don't get it that way. No, because black is black. And no matter what, this is why I treat anybody, mixed or not, I treat them all the same, because it don't matter. You black. and you're going to be treated as black. That's all. So I don't really be hearing that. Well, you know, it's different for me because I'm mixed. You're never going to hear me say that. Oh, for real? Like, yeah, I get it. No, I'm never going to understand. I don't relate to that. I don't give you a pass or anything like that. No, you're black. And so I'm the wrong one to even bring that little wannabe theory up to. You know, because I got some sisters out here that are, you know, dark-skinned black sisters that talk, I guess, quote-unquote, whitewashed. And I got some mixed sisters that don't. So that you can't put those that are, you know, that are well-spoken. There's nothing, that's another thing. There's nothing wrong with our people being well-spoken. I admire that. I admire when a woman is very, because that's something that I'm literally working on. I've been working on that for quite some time. I'm still going to be myself, but the fact that I work on having a more softer tone, not always on my podcast. This is my podcast, my space. So I can do what the hell I want to do. It is what it is. But just overall, that's something I've been working on for a very long time because it doesn't come. I come from a naturally hard background and just a hard culture in a hard space, and also come from a space to where, like I was telling them when I spoke, I come from a very defensive place, me naturally and me personally, because I was a voice of my parents, especially my mom. My dad didn't really use our voices like that. He had his sister, but see, when I think about it, my auntie could be aggressive. You know what I'm saying? She could have a certain tone about her when it comes down to my dad and stuff like that, because it's out of defense. It's out of defense. And when you're, you know, and over my father, should I say, and just overall, because she has, you know, that's my grandmother's daughter. She taught her and raised her a certain type of a way. And that's just what it's going to be. But that doesn't mean that my auntie not a woman. You know what I'm saying? And it's funny because as we're getting older and as she's getting older, I see her trying to tap into a more feminine side too. You know what I'm saying? Well, I do. We don't really sit back and talk about it too much. I ain't really had a chance to really sit back and talk to my auntie. And I definitely can, but I see her tapping into that. I see her tapping into a softer space, but it's hard to do. And so, like I was saying, for me personally, I've always came off very strong, strong will and strong mind because I had to speak up for my parents. They didn't have a voice of their own. So it was natural for me to speak up for them. It was natural for me to, you know, to take lead, me and my sister, very, very young. I had to. You see, I had no choice. Like, there was no, what do you mean? Like, this is just what it is. You know what I'm saying? I didn't even know no better. You know what I mean? And I'll do it again the same way. I'll teach my nephews, you know, when you with your grandparents, you speak up, this and that, because they can't hear. And so I come off, you know, that's one reason why I am the way I am. But I spoke on that in the Get to Know Me episode. And so you guys, anybody who's been listening, my little spazzers, anybody who's been listening from day one, you would know that about me. And it also gave a lot of my own friends who've been knowing me for years and my family clarity about me, real clarity about me. Like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. You got to listen to these women. I'm telling you, there's a reason. There's a reason for it. I'm not saying it's right and wrong, but if you listen and hear and let them let it out, that's healing. That's a healing space for them right there already. And then they're able to go ahead and be like, okay, let me heal. Because one girl, and I remember this feeling. One girl was like, you know, I caught myself just yelling at my dude. And he was so calm and it just made me feel bad. Like, why am I yelling at this man? And he's so calm. And I said, I've been there. I've definitely been there. I've been there. It's where I had to pause and look at myself like, damn, I'm the only one getting mad and aggressive. It's me. It ain't you. I'm not saying it was always like that. You know, but I definitely had my times where I checked myself in that moment. Like, you know what? Let me chill. Let me fall back real quick. Let me just fall back and let me peep the game and see what's really going on here. Why am I angry? What am I so mad about? Because clearly he ain't mad. So why am I, you know what I'm saying? Then come back with a sound tone. With a sound tone and with clarity and understanding and just maturity. That's it. That's it. That's all. But, you know, it's just, it's a work in progress, you know, but the point is we need to get away from that stereotype. We just do. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to touch back on it. Hopefully the next episode. If not, I might come through with a different conversation. Who knows? Y'all know I'd be jumping around everywhere. It is what it is. This is Spaz. I have definitely got to get out and get my puppy outside to use a potty and whatnot. But you guys have a great weekend. Everybody be healthy and safe. Keep your distance. And just be aware. But I appreciate you guys. This was fast.